Odo here, and I want to talk to you about confession, as I feel it complements this week's module. You decree a thing, and it shall be established. God is a God who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers. He said, "Concerning works of my hands, command ye me." When you speak or confess God's word and trust him, you give him permission to get involved in your situation. Now, I mentioned the word confession, and the Greek word for confession is homologio. Homo means same, and logio is to do with word spoken. So it means to say what has been said. We are to say what God has already said, or we are to speak the same thing God has spoken. You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established. When you believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Now, I want to talk about taking it one step further than just merely saying what you believe in the hope it comes to pass. I want to show you the significance of calling things that be not as though they were. Romans chapter 14 verse 17 says, "God calleth those things which be not as though they were." Now, in the context the Bible says this, it was talking about God who said, "I have made thee a father of many nations," and he was talking to Abraham. The key word there is have. I have made thee a father of many nations. You see, God said, "I have made thee a father of many nations," thousands of years before Abraham actually was. We'll talk in more detail about this later. But for now, I want to enforce the belief that you also can call things which be not as though they were. Now, if an alarm just went off in your mind and you are saying, "Hold on a minute, Elliot, you can't say that," then that tells me you have skipped ahead and watched this video before listening to "Ye shall decree a thing and it shall be established." So stop this video and make sure you go through the module first and then come back. Continuing on, you can call things which be not as though they were, because God calls things which be not as though they were. And confession, as we discussed, means saying what God has said. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." That word "follower" in the Greek means to mimic or imitate. So we are to mimic how our Father operates. "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee." And once you have done this, you must only speak of it as having been accomplished, imitating your Father. Now, I want to tell you my personal testimony, which really illustrates this nicely, where I actually applied this. Now, it's a terrible example of applying this principle, but the point is, it worked, and as I get to the end, you'll know what I mean. Now, I'll admit, I didn't know this was a principle, so I was actually applying the principle ignorant of the fact that I was doing so. But principles work whether you are aware that you're applying them or not. So here's my experience. When I was about, you'll find out why I'm laughing in a minute. When I was about 14, 15 years old, there was this girl who I had a huge crush on, and I mean huge, because I prayed about it fervently. Now, I first met her when I was 4, and at 15 years old, I decided I was going to marry her. I didn't know how, I just knew I wanted this dream to be a reality. But check this out. This all sounds very good and sweet, but here's what I didn't mention. I had all odds against me. Now, when I say all odds, you'll see what I mean. My chances of getting with her were slim to non-existent. Two main reasons. There was an age issue and a major height issue. You can see where this is going, can't you? Plus, I didn't even know if she was even remotely interested. Why? Let me explain. What girl do you know who is 19 years old and 5 feet 11 inches tall who would marry a 15-year-old who was barely even 5 foot 1? Yeah, exactly. But these were the circumstances. But despite this, I was determined that some way, somehow, this girl would be mine. Now, I remember praying one night on my bed, pleading fervently to the Lord that one day, one sweet day, this girl would be my wife. Now, in order for that to happen, I thought my chances would increase somewhat significantly if I had a major growth spurt. Now, the four-year age gap was pointless praying about, as that can't change. And to be honest, I wasn't that worried about the age gap. My concern was height. But while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are temporal, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I was praying that my height situation was in fact a temporary issue because everybody my age was leaving me further and further behind. Here's where it gets interesting. And don't worry, there is a relevant point to this story. Just hang in there. December 25th, 2000, my parents brought me a mobile telephone. Or if you're American, a cell phone. But I'm British, so I'm saying mobile. So anyway, my parents bought me this mobile. Now, this girl and I were good friends. And every time I'd see her at church, I'd look forward to my hug from her, and she didn't know I had a crush on her. Anyway, when I got this mobile phone, I was exchanging numbers with people, and when she put her number in my phone, she saved it as wife. She saved her name as wife, because she thought I was cute and in jest would call me her husband from time to time. And she put my number in her phone as husband. Now, of course, I knew she wasn't being serious, but over the years, I never changed her name in my phone. I kept it as wife, and every time she'd call, I'd see wife. Anyway, to cut a very long story short, we'll fast forward a few years. Well, actually, first, let me say this. Around the same time I prayed to God about her, I was endowed with a gift to compose poetry. Now, for years, I would go through numerous scenarios in my head where I would practice telling her how I felt. Anyway, fast forward to February 2008, I was invited to perform my poetry at a theatre in London. And I invited her to come to watch me because she'd never really seen me perform before. So I wrote a poem about her. Now, because of the type of person she is, I didn't think it would be wise to just surprise her like that. So I sort of forewarned her what was going to happen. I insinuated that my poem was going to be about her. Now, bear in mind, I hadn't actually told her how I felt at this point. And I have to admit, I chickened out and I said to her that my poem was about her because I used to have a crush on her, kind of hinting that I didn't have that crush anymore. Now, this was 2 weeks prior to the performance that I was telling her this. So anyway, I performed the poem and it went really well. Everybody loved it and, you know, God really has blessed me with this gift. So after the performance, she was really quiet. And then late that evening, she texted me saying how amazing she thought it was and that it was really flattering and touched her. Now, I'm not going to recite the poem to you now. Maybe I'll do it another time. This video would be really long otherwise. I mean, it's about 5 minutes long or so. And it's, by the way, it's called Never in a Million Years. But basically, the content of the poem blatantly told her I thought she was gorgeous and that I wanted her more than anything. So obviously, a friend of 15 plus years telling you that they like you is a bit of a shock. So I thought I'd not come on too strong. I'd give her time and then at some point we would talk. Well, little much was said after the performance had taken place, and she texted me now and then with questions about my feelings, and she wanted to know things about the poem. And then finally, she texted me saying that she'd been losing sleep over the poem, and that she wanted to talk. So I was like, okay, here goes. Either she's going to tell me she's interested, or that she and I can only be friends and nothing more. So I was nervous, as you can imagine. But finally, on the 15th of March 2008, we met up and we had a little small talk. And then when all the beating around the bush was enough and I wanted to get it over with, I braced myself. And then she uttered the words, "So, do you want to take this further?" Now, you should have seen me. I played it so cool, but I was leaping for joy inside. But I calmly responded, "Yes, if you want to." And she and I have been an item ever since. It's funny, she just came out with, "So, do you want to take this further?" She didn't even tell me if she liked me first. But hey, whatever, I'll take it. So you're probably thinking, "So, Elliot, you mean to tell me your girlfriend, all 5'11" of her, is going out with you, 5'1"? Oh, I forgot to mention, God answered my other prayer. When I was about 17 to 20 years of age, I had a growth spurt, and I'm now arguably 5'11". Arguably. She's still half an inch taller than me. And I think she's grown a bit too, to be honest with you. Oh, and guess what else? She and I are the same age now. No, I'm being silly. All I can say is the fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. But the point of the story is the part where she put wife in my phone. Every time I saw wife, when she called or texted, it was a constant strengthening of my faith that maybe we could in fact be together. I was calling things that be not as though they were. And okay, granted we aren't husband and wife yet, but by God's grace, we will be. The point is, we are an item, and we're pretty serious, and I'm pretty certain if I ask her to meet me at the altar in an elegant white gown, she'll say yes. So please pray for us. My sanity depends on it. No, I'm joking. Now, I still have her as wife in my phone. I'm still calling things which be not as though they were. So you can see the principle works, but now you can also see why this is a terrible example. Because you can't exactly just decide you want to marry a particular person and name them as your spouse in your phone. So please don't do that and go around calling people your spouse saying, "Elliot told me I could do that." No, you're missing the point. The point of this example was to highlight a principle. I thought you'd enjoy the story. Now, I'm going to give you a good biblical example and evidence that this is in truth a sound principle. God said to Abraham, "I have made thee a father of many nations." Abraham believed even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Even though he was old and Sarah was barren, he didn't consider that. He looked not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He called himself and introduced himself to others as the father of many nations. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. As I said, that word follower in the Greek means to mimic or imitate. Abraham mimicked his father in heaven. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Jesus said, Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Talk about what you want as if it is done. Abraham did this with his name. As you may or may not know, Abraham means father of nations. God changed Abram's name, which is what his name was before, to Abraham, so he would constantly be feeding into his mind that he was the father of many nations. So he would be fully persuaded that what God promised, he was also able to perform. Also, there is power when you speak something God has said. It will come to pass. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 and 21 says, A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. Abraham went around calling himself the father of many nations before he was, and now he is today. God also gave Abraham visual reminders of what was going to be, the stars in the sky and the sand in the ground, reminding him of how numerous his descendants would be. So if you can get an image of the thing you want to accomplish, it helps your faith a great deal. And if you talk about what you want to accomplish as already done, and you believe what you say will come to pass, you will have what you say. Now, back to the story about my girlfriend and I waited years from the time I prayed on my bed to the day she said, So, do you want to take this further? So, we need to be patient. One day, I asked God, Lord, why does it take so long sometimes for things to come to pass? Why can't they come to pass instantaneously? And then God said, There are just some things you have to wait for. Son, there are things I said thousands of years ago which still haven't happened yet. You've only been here 20-odd years. Now, there is a reason for this video. I've come up with some things from the Word of God that I want you to decree and confess over your life every day, speaking about them as if they are already so. These scriptures identify with what God's Word says you can be, do and have because of who Christ made you. You can do anything if you realize who you are in Christ Jesus and recognize the power within you. And you will become the things you speak about because you believe what you say. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, this text is saying the things which do appear were made by the Word of God, which you can't see. Think about it. Words are invisible. Words are what framed the world around you. And you have the power in your tongue to frame the world around you. Proverbs 18 says, A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. So speak the word of God over your life, and you will be satisfied with the fruit of God's word. There is a thinking stuff from which all things are made, and which in its original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. A thought in this substance produces the thing that is imaged by the thought. You can form things in your thoughts. and by impressing your thoughts upon formless substance, you can cause the thing you think about to be created. You must form a clear mental picture of the things you want, and you must hold this picture in your thoughts with the fixed purpose to get what you want and the unwavering faith that you will get what you want, closing your mind to all that may shake your purpose, dim your vision, or quench your faith. In order to be ready to receive what you want when it comes, you must act now upon the people and things in your present environment. Now, I mentioned earlier that I've selected quotes from the Word of God for you, which are in an ebook on this page, which you can download. There is also an audio version of it too, which you should be able to see. Now, I want you to make reading, listening, and speaking what's in there part of your daily routine, and you'll understand why when I talk you through the process. In order for the Word of God you speak to take effect in your life, you need to have constant exposure to it. You must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, when renewing your mind, it's a lot like a jug filled with milk. For example, let's say the milk is sin or negative thoughts and ideas, which are holding you back from operating in what God says you can. And you begin to pour water, which is in our example, the Word of God, into that jug. We're talking about renewing your mind. Now stay with me. At first, you start putting water in that jug. And you want a glass of water. And let's say you can only get it from the jug. What comes out the jug? Milk and water mixed. Now, I'm talking about the process in getting results. You see, there is so much milk in there, even though you poured water in there, it looks like, for a while, all that is coming out is milk. You've got some water in there, but it's mostly milk. Now, what you want is water. So you can get frustrated because you poured water in there and you're still getting milk. Well, the whole jug was filled with milk. So the key is to do what? Keep pouring water in. You keep pouring it in there, eventually it will displace every last bit of milk and all that is left is water. And if all that ever goes in there from that point is water, then all that ever comes out will be water. Then your results resemble what's coming in. What's going in is coming out. Now it can be tempting to say, okay, I've got nothing but water in there, in this jug. I'm taking a break. I'm going to stop putting water in there. But the thing is, you still want to drink water, right? If you keep pouring water without replacing what you put in the jug, it will eventually become dripping water, whereas before it was gushing out, and eventually it runs dry, and there is nothing to put in your glass. What you want to do is keep that jug topped up with water, and every time you want a glass to drink, you will have water to pour into that glass, because you always have that jug topped up with water. Now that's what you want to do with this confession. Say it every day, keep yourself topped up, keep renewing your mind in the morning and before you go to sleep. And you will see the influences not from God will be displaced with the Word of God, and the results you produce will resemble what's being poured into your mind, like the water in the glass resembles what was coming out of the tap. Consistency is the key to success with this. Now go ahead and download the ebook and the MP3 you see called Confession. You shall decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whosoever shall say, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever. whatever he saith.